opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
I know Jason very well. I've had a wonderful opportunity to spend a football life with him. So I know him very well. And you know, without a doubt, you've seen it. Nobody is wants Jason, wants it to go. And I'm going to tell you this right now, he's got my back too. Before we started this game today, we said this team's going to be tough to beat. Buffalo's a good team. They got it done. That's all I'm saying. This is not the time. Every decision that I make over the next month will be with an eye in mind to get us in the Super Bowl now.
Sports, sports,
sports,
sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
So, if not now, when? I guess we'll find out. We have a very special Friday version of the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend, weekend. Friday, Friday. Getting down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend. Partying, partying.
All right, Trey. Did Trey do something wrong?
Yeah, I think he did.
Did he not play the...
He didn't play the
intro?
No. No.
Might be.
Trey.
What's up?
We've been on air for 15 seconds and you made a mistake.
Yeah, it's might be.
Oh, well. We'll try it. We'll try it. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler.
You're embarrassing us in front of our new friend.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. With A.J. Hoffman. With the legend that is Charlie Polillo joining us today, and apparently Juggalo Trey, who is off to a slow start.
Did you eat too much turkey yesterday or what, Trey?
No, I didn't have any turkey yesterday.
No turkey?
I had like two pieces.
What did you eat?
Just that. Just the two pieces of turkey.
You ate two pieces of turkey, no sides?
Pretty much.
That sounds like the crappiest Thanksgiving ever.
It was really boring.
Was your family there?
Yeah, but...
Did you eat, like, actual turkey, or did you eat, like, cold cuts? Did you eat, like, Subway turkey sandwich or something?
It was actual turkey, but it was like, I don't know. It was all right.
Was it roasted turkey?
Nah, it was... Yeah, I think it was. I think it was smoked turkey, actually.
Was it cooked in an oven or on a barbecue grill?
I think in an oven.
Okay, that would be roasted turkey.
Yeah, okay. It was roasted. I'm not real sure. I didn't really...
Oh, Trey. How does he get through life? Do you ever wonder, like, I mean...
He keeps showing up.
I know. You'd think by now someone would have taken advantage of him, and I don't know. Trey, happy Thanksgiving, my man.
Thanks, man. Sorry about the first snafu.
That's all right. There. You won't do that anymore.
Nope.
No, of course not.
He won't get another chance to do it.
And what about your holiday, Charles? How was Thanksgiving at the Polillo house?
First, thanks for having me. Secondly,
our pleasure.
The wheel's usually in the trunk or somewhere off to the side, right? And here I am smack dab in the middle. Far be it for me to make a suggestion 3 minutes into my semi-guest appearance. You could give him another shot. We're following an Aggie basketball post-game and then 20 minutes of network filler, right?
Yes. I mean, and listen, it was a thrilling Aggie post-game show, everyone knows. Maybe the most profitable betting trend I've found, fade Aggie basketball. I might be 5-0 doing just that this season. I mean, it's free money out there if you're into it. But, yeah, we'll forgive Trey. I'm sure no one heard it, Trey.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
We know there's only about 10 people listening today. But if you do want to get in, you know all the ways to do it. You can call at 713-780-3776. You can hit us up on Twitter. It's at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Polillo. At Juggalo _ Trey 24 or 23?
23.
23, okay.
What's the 23 for?
It was my favorite number for a while. I don't know why, but...
You don't know why it was your favorite number?
Now it's 24.
Too young for Jordan, right?
Now.
Is that a Jeff Gordon thing?
Yeah, for sure.
Boy.
Who's number 23 in NASCAR?
I don't think there is a 23 in NASCAR anymore.
Oh, who was it?
I don't even remember, honestly. I think it was, let me take a guess. John Hunter Nemechek would be my best guess.
Okay, yeah, I don't care about that guy. Never mind. Never forget I asked. That was a stupid question on me.
You guys can also text the show and watch us on the Twitch channel if you want to see our lovely faces, and you can comment there, and if it's any good, we'll get to it.
And to answer your question, AJ, my Thanksgiving was fine and filling. The football mostly blew. Those who hate the Cowboys, I'm sure, found it fantastic. I'm indifferent. I just would prefer to see a good game.
Well.
And Bears-Lions was too meaningless to count, no matter how close.
Boy, what an...
It was meaningless unless you had Bears minus 3.5. In which case, it was quite entertaining.
Happy, happy Thanksgiving, yeah.
What an awful football game the Bears-Lions game is. I mean, that's just... You talk about two miserable teams right now. It's just hard to watch. But I'll tell you, the Dallas Cowboys... Jerry Jones, and he started the show talking about, you know, they're a good team. We knew they were going to be a good team. You weren't expecting to get your ass kicked like that. And that game, the final score was closer than the game was because the Cowboys got in a garbage time touchdown. Yeah. But they got thumped by that Bills team on really both sides of the ball. And I can't imagine, Jason. I mean, he says, every decision I make in the next month has an eye on getting to the Super Bowl. I can't imagine any plans on getting to the Super Bowl could possibly include Jason Garrett. I mean, what are the chances that they could include him?
When he came out today and he's saying, well, no team's ever made a coaching change and then won the Super Bowl. Well, I did all that research earlier in the week. No guy that's ever been in the league 10 years and not been to a championship game has ever won a Super Bowl either. So there's a trend there. Pick one. And a little credit to the Bills. Defensively, they're really good. It was
Timeout. Defensively, the Bills are really good against the pass.
Yeah.
But when you get behind, you can't just keep running the ball forever and ever. And the Cowboys got behind enough that they couldn't run the ball. This is why I say the Bills, if they get up on you, you're in trouble. Yeah. They're hard to come back on. They're kind of like the Patriots in that way. Because you can't throw the ball against them. They've got elite guys on the outside. You can beat them up the middle. If you get a 14-0 lead on them, Bills probably aren't coming back. Cowboys got out early and then just said, we're good with this 7 points.
Yeah, that'll do it.
We'll roll with it for the rest of the game, damn near.
But a really, really good game from Ed Oliver yesterday, too, for the one UH person who's listening besides me. So there's that.
The punchline that Jerry Jones continues to be, but I agree with him. Would you fire Jason Garrett right now? The alternatives are what? Kellen Moore, offensive mastermind, and Rod Marinelli, last seen going 0-16 as the head coach of the Detroit Lions?
Chris Richard was the name that was being floated. But, I mean, do any of those guys do anything for you?
I don't think you're going to metamorphosize the team. Hey, they are still the first place Dallas Cowboys. And I'd even give Jerry a little bit of cling to on the we can make a run. We've seen 9-7 teams. The Giants won one. Arizona got to one. But the top of the NFC is just way too tough this year to envision the Cowboys winning 3 playoff games to come out of the NFC. But the horrible hand that they now have, I think it is the one to play the rest of the way. Maybe the Eagles put them out of their misery.
We've seen borderline inept coaches win Super Bowls before. Like, I shouldn't say borderline inept. We've seen
Mike Tomlin comes to mind.
Mike Tomlin jumps to mind. Gary Kubiak jumps to mind. Tony Dungy jumps to mind. These are guys that were like, okay, they were fine coaches. Well, by the way, two of those guys won thanks to Peyton Manning.
Right.
I don't know that you can, no matter how much talent you have, I guess Mike McCarthy, we should throw his name in there too. That guy did win a Super Bowl somehow.
Somehow was Aaron Rodgers.
Right. I think we should. So it's not impossible for someone like Jason Garrett to win a Super Bowl. I just think the odds are stacked against you, no matter how much talent you bring in. Because let's face it, if you look at this team on paper, they have the talent to be as good as anybody. They're just not.
Well, to try to localize it, isn't Jason Garrett Bill O'Brien just with a nicer day-to-day disposition? And to distance it and yet localize it, Jason Garrett is Warren Moon. Win a Super Bowl. How about getting to a Super Bowl? How about getting to a conference championship game? How about no, no, and no?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that the comparisons with Bill O'Brien are pretty appropriate. And, you know, they've just been dealing with it for so much longer that if you're a Cowboy fan, you've got to be just like, dude, what the? I mean, let's be honest. If the Texans were doing the exact same things they're doing now, 6 years down the road with the exact same coach, and there's been no sign of improvement or
say
no
if
sign
for when.
Well, I mean, I guess Bill O'Brien's got a lifetime pass around here. But I mean, when if as a Texans fan, wouldn't you be frustrated at that point?
I think most Texans fans are frustrated at this point.
Most Cowboys fans were frustrated with Jason Garrett 5-6 years ago. They knew then. And Jerry Jones is just – it's easier. It's cheaper to keep her, I guess, is the way Jerry Jones thinks. And if you get rid of him, you're going to bring in somebody who's going to be more of a pain in the ass for you, like someone who talks back to daddy. You don't want that. Jerry's not looking for that.
And who put out the word last week that the Giants might be hot to trot for Jason Garrett if the Cowboys set him loose?
Let him.
Jason Garrett's agent, I'm
That's
sure.
What, remember,
within the same division, you've had an up-close and personal look at this is his ninth full season of this. And, yeah, they've won a couple of those cute little NFC East championship banners, like the Texans are collecting those cute little AFC South championship banners. The goal is not to avoid sucking, or it's not supposed to be the goal, right?
Right.
It's supposed to be from the top down. Are we the best, or are we at least close, or are we really threatening to be in that upper echelon and have a window of sustainability?
Do you remember a couple years
ago? Neither of the Texas organizations has even come close.
A couple years ago, someone said if the Texans fired Bill O'Brien, there'd be a line out the door of teams. And I was like, good. Let them. I mean, that's like when you've got this guy on your fantasy football team who just sucks. Every week he sucks. Like, let's say David Johnson.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you drafted David Johnson.
I did.
And he's done nothing all year long. And you're like, if I drop him, what if someone else gets him? Good! Let someone else take up a roster spot with a guy who's not going to help their team. Let someone else have Bill O'Brien. Let someone else have Jason Garrett.
Jacksonville could have an opening.
That's right. I mean, imagine.
Keep him in your division.
Imagine Jason Garrett. I mean, if I'm Jerry Jones, I realize what Jason Garrett is now. He has to know what he is. If my biggest rival wants to hire Jason Garrett, so be it. And if they beat you somehow, well, all right. Well, egg on my face, but I doubt that's happening.
Ran off Jimmy Johnson, but keeps Jason Garrett eternally.
Forever. And that's why, because one guy had a little pushback in him and one guy doesn't.
Closer right now to a Super Bowl, Texans or Cowboys? I think the Cowboys have more. If you put the right guy in there, I think
the Cowboys have more talent.
They seem more
around.
Complete to me.
Yeah.
And especially defensively. And when the offensive line is healthy, they've got one of the best in the business, and they've got one of the best running backs, and they've got a functional enough quarterback. It just seems to me that that team would be closer than the Texans are.
I agree, but I'll say that I think Jason Garrett might be a worse coach than Bill O'Brien.
Oof.
And I don't throw that out willy-nilly, but I think he might be a worse coach. I mean, last week when he kicked that field goal down 7, that may have cemented him being the most idiotic coach in the league. I mean, when he did that, I was like, oh, well, what do you even say at that point? So, yeah, I think the Texans may actually have a coaching edge over the Cowboys, believe it or not.
Well, the game here last season when Garrett went totally soft in overtime and greased the skids for the Texans a chance to outcoach the Cowboys and win that game. The week after, Reich did them the favor up in Indianapolis. And hence, Bill O'Brien keeps getting contract extensions.
All right, 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. And you can chat with Charlie today. It's an honor to have you here, Charlie, and it's going to be a lot of fun here for the next couple hours. And Brad Powers will join us at 6 today to talk a little college and NFL betting. I'm sure he'll work in some NFL with us as well, since RJ and the rest of the guys are off. And
Charlie only till 6. He's got a party tonight.
Oh, yeah?
That's right.
Well, just Thanksgiving leftover get-together. Party's a little bit strong.
Okay. Is this what you're going to wear to the party?
No question.
You
not a party, casual as can.
You are the, I mean, I don't know anyone who sacrifices style for comfort the way you do.
I will take that as the compliment it was intended. Not exactly sartorial splendid.
No, I'm not, but I mean, it's a company holiday.
It's also a Friday where we don't have meetings.
I mean, this is what you look like pretty much every day.
More days than not, a collar.
A collar? Okay.
Comfort is king. I guess so. To that.
All right.
Is this inventory clearance time?
I believe so.
Yes.
Now, let me plug Marshall Stevenson Elevator. You're thinking, wow, that's for the purely she. Not really. Ideal for townhomes, which continue to sprout like dandelions around here. 3-4-story townhomes. They are naturals. If you're in a townhome but thinking, yeah, that might have been great. Well, they work directly with homeowners, home builders, and remodelers. If you're curious about the idea, natural for townhomes, schlepping groceries or schlepping kids up 3-4 stories. If you're in a beach home, if you're in an older home with an elderly resident who wants to stay in that home, take a look at what they have to offer. Marshall Stevenson Elevator, 3 generations family owned in their 5th decade in business. They have a showroom with an actual working elevator, also a working stair chair, if you're familiar with that and think that could be of use. Marshall Stevenson Elevator. They do it all. Sales, installation, 24/7 on-call service if there's ever any issue. Their family names are on the business with good reason. Get started by visiting that showroom. They open bright and early Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. Family-driven business and very successful business. They close for the weekend. So it's Monday through Friday fitting into your schedule. If you'd like to make a reservation, that's fine. An appointment, 713-961-1940. 713-961-1940. The Marshall's actually spelled M-A-R-C-H-A-L, but if you think to the traditional Marshall spelling, just search them and you'll find Marshall Stevenson Elevator, that showroom very near Northwest Side, 11050 West Little York, just off Beltway 8. The pioneer in elevators in Houston, Marshall Stevenson Elevator, working, you heard it, on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Lock and load, boys.
On ESPN 97.5. This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Gulf Greyhound Park. This is the... This is...
Just don't.
You might want to turn my mic on occasionally, too.
It wasn't me.
Dude.
Trey.
We haven't even done a show out there in a year.
My bad. I picked the wrong rejoin.
Are you not, like, previewing this stuff before the segment starts, or are you just guessing?
I previewed it before, and it just, I don't know.
It didn't sound wrong before?
No, it didn't sound wrong before, so it's my B.
But you knew we weren't at the Gulf Greyhound race park.
I knew. That's my fault. My fault. I'm sorry.
Is my B a thing?
I guess my B is a thing now. I didn't know that. I don't like
bad.
My B.
You're not economizing syllables.
Yeah, my bad is way better. It's my B sounds ridiculous. You sound like a I can't even say that word, but you sound like an F boy when you say my B.
Bad.
Oh, I thought you were going with the other usage of B as an unflattering word.
No. Yeah,
although that works too.
Hey, tomorrow, little love for our guy John Denman. He's one of several bars. Taps for Texas Equisearch. They are raising money for that fine cause. 28 bars and breweries donating a portion of sales, including Drink of Ages, including Thistle Draft Shop. Just search it on Facebook, find more details. But yeah, if you're out drinking tomorrow, it's a good place to start.
Well, I plan to be out drinking tomorrow, so wife has to work on month end clothes, so I have a hall pass to get out and get in trouble. So I'm sure that will happen.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry, Charlie. I'm embarrassed that you're here when that happened.
It's just bit now. We have to live with it. Well, how was your Thanksgiving, Hoffman?
Pretty solid, I would say. We have a multi-turkey family. We do a fried turkey. We do a smoked turkey, which is my responsibility. And we do an oven-roasted turkey. And we've gone this way because... no one likes oven roasted turkey. It's gross. It never comes out right. It's just not that good. And smoked and fried are far superior options for turkey. But the older people in the family don't want to move away from the tradition of roasting a turkey in the oven. But normal people don't want to eat it. So what they do is they cook that stupid turkey anyway, and then they make leftovers and make turkey salad and turkey sandwiches out of it. And everyone eats the smoked and the fried turkeys because those are delicious. And then I drank enough beer, not like wasted beer, but enough beer that, like, you know, I could deal with being around 30 members of my family for the whole day.
So a lot then.
Kind of a lot. I had to make the most of it.
We kind of have a weird new thing that the wife likes to do. For some reason, on Thanksgiving Day, she likes to drive out to Bucky's in Baytown to get a breakfast croissant for breakfast. I don't know why. She's done this, like she said, the last 3 years. Well, we drink a bunch on Wednesday, so she decides on Wednesday night we're doing this. And then I went down, and then she had to work, so I went down to La Marque to visit the family. I stayed almost 2 hours, which is almost a personal best for me.
So you went... from your home downtown to Buc-ee's?
Yeah, don't ask me why.
For it's a breakfast croissant?
It's what she likes doing. It's her thing. She's the rich one. I do what I'm told.
Foreign people are so weird.
Well, it's not really, honestly, it's not that far of a trip for us because we're on the east side of downtown, so it's an easy jump on I-10 and you're there. But, you know, then I had to go down to Lamarck, and then we do some volunteer stuff in the afternoon, but that was about it. I didn't drink much yesterday. I did Wednesday. Okay. I'm planning to drink today, and because I went and bought a bunch of beer.
When you say volunteer stuff, you're like handing out food to the homeless?
Yeah, it's one of those things that we do every year I don't really want to get into because, you know, I don't like...
You don't like to toot your own horn.
No, I always feel like if I say what I'm doing, it sounds like I'm bragging.
Well, but I asked you.
I know, and I'm just saying. I brought you a nice beer, though.
You did.
And
that was very charitable of you.
And they're still, by the way, I'm a big Eureka Heights guy. On Friday, Black Friday, they have a barrel-age Black Friday. So I went over there today, picked up the 2019 Nuke the Whales, which came out today, and got a couple of those to take home. So that will be tonight's fare.
There you go. Charlie, who are you doing? Do you have a lot of family down here in this part of the world, or who are you doing Thanksgiving
with?
None. No family?
No.
So who do you dine with on Thanksgiving?
Friends, significant other, and anyone else who shows up.
Significant other. I don't know much about your life, a significant other.
That's by design.
You don't like to talk about it.
Correct.
How long?
There's nothing.
How long have you had this significant other?
Scandalous about it? A good while.
Like
I've overachieved.
10 years.
No, not 10 years.
5 years.
Seven.
Are you thinking about locking that up and putting a ring on it?
May already be done.
Oh, that's interesting.
I have seen those two walking around my neighborhood, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I don't know where Charlie lives, but I assume he's over on my side of town. So,
you guys ever bump into each other, like in the bars or anything?
I had no idea that I live near Fred. Either that or he's going farther afield to see
not,
where I am.
Is Fred not the kind of guy you would hang out with? Socially?
Don't know each other very well, to be honest.
Okay. I'm trying to get a gauge for you.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, you are very mysterious to me. Everybody else on the air here doesn't shut up about their lives. They all want to talk about their lives all the time.
Well, to each his own.
Yeah, but you
I'm not
don't.
That interesting.
You have a mystery life, and that does make it interesting. You're like...
I just live my life.
Like nerdy James Bond. That is mysterious, though. It is. How long have you been in Houston?
30 years.
Wow. How old are you, Trey?
24.
Oh, man. But you haven't been with this. There's no way Trey is your son in any way, right?
I feel confident really. About that.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a good sign. Trey, is there anything that you don't know about Charlie that you wish you did know?
I guess how cool is it to live with Mike Tirico? I guess that's my only question.
You lived with Mike Tirico?
Last year at Syracuse. How cool was it?
How fun was it? Like, did y'all like do anything cool? Like, you know.
Well, he's one of my best friends in life, but at that point
he wasn't famous.
Wasn't Mike Tirico in italics and bold font yet. We knew it was inevitable, basically. But one of my best friends for geez, now longer than 30 years. So it was cool.
That's dope.
It's funny because I found
that's
out.
That's dope, Charlie. I don't know if you heard that. That's dope.
Dope, I'm all right with. If he said that's D, then I'd have said, yeah, as in dumb. Just say dope.
That's dope.
Which can also be used for dumb.
I had to find out about that from Mike Tirico. I didn't know that from Charlie.
Really?
We were interviewing Tirico somewhere, and he just brought it up randomly. You guys know Charlie? We were
I roommates. Was there?
Yeah, you were there. It was a while ago, 6 or 7 years ago.
I'm not great at remembering anybody we've ever interviewed.
Well, I decided against the T-shirt. I used to room with Mike Tirico. So I'm going to walk around. And
I mean, you could get him one that says, I used to room with Charlie Palillo.
Resale value would be much less.
Now, you like to do your show by yourself.
And also in that same group, Todd Callis, the TV voice of the Astros.
Also in your dorm?
Well, I room with Mike our last year off-campus apartment. The 2 months before Mike and I moved in, we were working the summer up there, and Mike, Todd, and a third guy, less famous, but maybe the best guy of the group, by the name of Paul Peck. And so I basically crashed on their couch for about 2 months before we could get into the place we were moving in for the final school year.
There was no illicit drugs being taken there, I hope.
Not a one.
There's a lot of straight guys in that place.
Well, Todd in particular... I don't think I'm betraying any confidence here. He could, in those days at least, absolutely go beer for beer with you guys and not drink you both under the table.
Really? I'll take that challenge.
Not quite the stuff of legend, but Todd had game in that department.
What about you?
Social drinker. Just never.
Always? Been that. Like to this day, you're a social drinker?
That's it.
Okay.
Drink of choice.
These days, cider.
Oh, my wife likes that too.
Mine too.
More alcohol than many beers have.
That is true.
If it's a girly thing.
No one judges you on that,
Charlie. Just go by the taste of it.
Yeah, and if they do judge you, that's their problem.
If not a problem, nothing with which I'm concerned.
I like your attitude about these things, Charlie. I like it. I like it. I feel like you and I, we're sort of kindred spirits. I feel like we should do a show together, Charlie.
Bonding
full-time.
Has begun.
What would you think about working with me full-time?
I think that would be a very grave disservice to Fred about now.
Fred can do a show on his own. He'll do the 11-to-1 shift.
Well, you are empowered, whether it's April Fool's Day or just fiat, that today we're going to have switch-around day.
Okay.
So-and-so does a show with that guy, and such does a show with that guy, and, well, that day we could be paired.
What do you think, Fred? How do you think Charlie and I would do together?
I think you guys would be great. I kind of feel like I should camel it today because, I mean, who wants to hear from me when I've got you two guys?
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
did you say camel it?
Yeah.
Made a very, very, very brief stay.
Well, just
listen, he's a legend.
Basically, just bring it back in and say, what do you guys think? And then never say another thing the rest of the segment.
You know, SiriusXM NBA now has them doing 22 of their 24 hours per day.
I think what the key is, Fred, you have to do everything with like an urban delivery to try to connect to an urban audience.
Do is I that also, what he was doing?
That's absolutely what he was doing.
Do I have to connect everything to basketball also?
Yes.
Okay.
But what made it extra funny that he was doing that urban connection voice is that Sterner's voice is like obviously the complete opposite. And I thought that was maybe the most hilarious pairing in the history of radio in Houston.
Unintentionally funny is what I would have called it.
By hilarious, did you mean big joke or just funny?
I think both.
I mean funny.
What am I, like a clown? Funny like a clown? I wish that show would have lasted forever is what I will say. It tore my heart out the day that they canceled that show. I thought that was the future.
So you saw it as a minimal threat?
No, I saw it as a grave threat, but I did enjoy it so that I was willing to accept the consequences of that. All right, Trey, we ready to go to break?
Yeah, you can play the music now. And we're going to try to, when we come back, I mean, you're 0 for 2. You still have a chance, okay? You can turn this around. It's no problem starting 0-2.
All right. I mean, it's not great.
Well, it's not great, but if he goes 14-2, we'll be fine.
Didn't the Astros start the World Series 0-2?
I think so. How'd that turn out? Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Okay, you're 1 for 3 now. Didn't mess anything up there. So that's a plus. Some Texans news. Looks like Titus Howard out for Sunday night's game against the...
No big deal. They're playing a bad defensive team. It's not going to matter. They'll run all over. They'll have their way.
Yeah, exactly. That's a guy that, I mean, he's played really well for them. I hate to see him out because, you know, they need everything they can on offense. And we were saying earlier in the week, oh, they're finally relatively healthy on offense. If they're going to do anything against these guys, now's the time. Well, not so much now.
Yeah, it's obviously disappointing, but... If you told me, well, you're only going to be missing one key offensive piece going into that game, okay. Will Fuller, full participant the last couple of days, he's gonna be out there. So
not for how long though? I set over under on 8 plays.
Yeah,
and he'll break again.
I do think they need that guy because obviously I think DeAndre Hopkins is going to be, I don't want to say locked down because I don't know if I believe in locked down corners, but if there is one, Stephon Gilmore is probably about the best thing going these days.
Well, I do believe in lockdown coaches, and one thing Belichick will do.
I believe.
He will take away, he'll do his best to take away DeAndre Hopkins, so it's going to have to be somebody else. And the problem will be if Bill O'Brien is his usual stubborn self and keeps trying to force the ball in there to him. That's where things won't work. And we, you know, all the things that I talked about that they needed to do against the Ravens that they didn't do, they kind of need to do the same thing against New England. They need to hit the tight ends. They need to hit the slot guy. They need some. They need to run that little goofball option where he either flips it to the tight end or runs. But if they try to force it to Hopkins and force plays to him, it's not going to work, and the game will get out of hand.
I think they better hit huge touchdown plays because the red zone is an epic coaching mismatch. Patriots, through their dynasty, have had a number of defenses that they'll give up yards, but they'll choke you off in the red zone. This defense just isn't giving up much of anything. Been a little vulnerable against the run from time to time, but I just don't see the Texans being good enough to run it down their throat 40 times. Gilmore, to take Hopkins out of the game, and to your point with the rules, you know, one pass interference call, defensive holding, can you? But he shut out Amari Cooper. So if he largely eradicates Hopkins, defensive player of the year. The Rams stink. Aaron Donald might be awesome, but he's not winning it for a third year in a row for a team that's 8-8 missing the playoffs. Obviously, J.J. Watt is irrelevant. Anyone else immediately jump into the conversation? There's no 20-sack pass rusher waiting to happen.
No, but I think Nick Bosa, with the year that the Niners are having,
any Bosa,
either Bosa, you can make an argument for.
But I give defensive player of the year to a rookie?
I could see it. I mean, I could see it, especially because with cornerbacks specifically, like unless you've got big interception numbers, because with these pass rushers, and I'm a big believer that sack, like if you just say how many sacks do you have, that's the most important stat. It's an overrated stat. I want to know what percentage of down, like passing downs, do you get pressure, you know, tackles for loss, things like that. How many QB hurries? How often are you affecting or impacting these plays? There's easier things to measure versus the simple. I mean, really, when you look at just the surface stats for cornerbacks, is how many times did you take it away? And the best guys don't always have the most interceptions.
It's like outfield assists in baseball. You can have a pea shooter arm, but if they're trying constantly to take the extra base, you're going to throw a few out by accident.
Yeah.
You can suck as a cornerback, and if they're coming after you all the time, well, you get a couple of interceptions, handful of interceptions by accident, or it might be because you're awesome, and the limited number of times they come at you, you still make your plays. So, yeah, it's why, like with quarterback evaluation, the concept of QBR is really good. Who is doing the grading in that ESPN formula? I don't know, but play-by-play to evaluate so a quarterback is not punished. If he throws a ball that goes through a receiver's hands for an interception, he's also not overly rewarded if he throws a flare pass and the running back goes 65 yards, breaking four tackles along the way, as opposed to the NFL quarterback rating, where when perfect is 158.3. That should probably be an initial indicator that the concept is a little shaky, but it's just a straight formula. Yards per attempt, interceptions per attempt, touchdown passes per attempt, and whatever the fourth one is that I'm missing in there.
I think, to your point on the cornerback, though, like Marcus Peters is a good example. This is a guy who gets a lot of interceptions, but he also gives up a lot of big plays. And the reason why quarterbacks are willing to go after Marcus Peters is because there can be a big reward there. It's obviously a big risk, but there's also a big reward. Going against guys like Stephon Gilmore, there's just not a lot of reward there. So you're not going to throw his way as much as you are a guy like Marcus Peters, who has a propensity to get beat deep every once in a while.
So presuming Belichick would be interested in the advice, would you put Gilmore on Hopkins and say, take him out of the game? Or say, you know what, you take the deep threat Fuller out of the game and we can double and zone and combo, whatever else Belichick would cook up to take care of Hopkins. But to eliminate the big plays, of course, the Texans hit the two bombs to Will Fuller. The drives ended with no points and a field goal.
I think you take away their best guy. And their best guy is obviously DeAndre Hopkins. If you can limit him, I think everything else falls into place. And by the way, you know, Jason McCourty, Devin McCourty, these other guys in that secondary, they're no slouches either.
McCourty didn't play against the Cowboys. They'll probably get him back. J.C. Jackson's a good young player.
Yep.
And then they have two Pro Bowl-level safeties.
Yeah. Although, I mean, Patrick Chung at this point is damn near like a linebacker. But they've got it figured out the way they like to do it. And there's not, I don't think there's going to be any easy yards through the air. We talked about this earlier in the week. to me, if the Texans are going to win this game, they have to find success on the ground. And whether it's Watson doing it or whether it's the actual running backs getting it done, Hyde, I don't care who it is, they're going to have to get yardage on the ground. Otherwise, the game's going to be extended. That's bad news. And B, you're just going to, if you're asking Watson to beat these corners, I don't know if I like that matchup.
Now, I thought he threw the ball horribly against the Colts, other than the deep balls. The short and intermediate, he was scatter-armed, a couple of terrible decisions, the one pick-off, another ball or two that could have been picked off. The Patriots know that this year they better hold on to that home field advantage with what the Ravens did
absolutely.
To them 3 weeks ago. I know they won it in Kansas City last season. The Chiefs didn't have a defense. The Ravens have a complete team. Patriots have lost the tiebreaker. They may need 15-1 to have home field advantage in the AFC Championship game. Of course, Belichick's not going to portray it that way. But this is a huge game for them, right? They lose this game. They hand control the tiebreaker to Baltimore, provided the Ravens keep on winning. And, well, maybe this weekend is Super Bowl 53.5. NFL schedule is really good this weekend.
It is. And getting back to your point, though, I would take away Hopkins, because the one thing that the Texans have shown a propensity to do is try to force the ball to him no matter how well he's covered. And that's where the mistakes are going to come from. And I guarantee you, if they do that and Watson keeps trying to force him the ball, there will be an interception at some point.
Another thing I'd point out for the Patriots and how important it is to win this game, they've still got the Chiefs on the schedule
next week,
and they've still got the Bills on the schedule. If they lose this game to the Texans, now suddenly the Bills are one game out of first place, and they've still got a head-to-head matchup to go. And now you're talking about there's a possibility the Bills could split the series with them this season. And now there's a possibility you're playing a freaking wild card game if you're the Patriots. So I think absolutely they're looking at this game as a very important game, whether it's to keep the Ravens away or keep the Bills away, who already have a win this week. I think Bill Belichick's going to go out there and try to lay the hammer.
Patriot, of course, you get four games per year, Dolphins and Jets. But they've given up more than 14 points once.
Yeah.
If the Texans win, to me, it's 20-17. Brady looks a little old. The defense plays at a very high level. Maybe gets a turnover or two. And maybe it comes down to whose mediocre ex-UCLA kicker screws it up. See, Nick Folk has got the appendectomy. They cut him, and they signed Kai Forbath. So it's Kai against Kaimi.
Oh,
which
boy.
Kicker can screw up the least on Sunday night?
Is this the worst year for kickers ever? There were four kicks missed yesterday in that Bills-Cowboys game.
We'll start with the greatest place kicker in the history of the game.
Justin Tucker.
Vinatieri. Well, yeah, there's your challenge
never misses.
To Vinatieri, and he missed one a couple weeks ago. But Vinatieri looks washed
Vinatieri
up
should be cut.
At this point, yeah.
Fairbairn should be cut. There's
Agreed.
So many guys that should have already been out of the league, or at least off the team that they're on, and you know, back in the rotating line that is place kickers in the NFL. I don't understand how these guys have such job security because, I mean, especially once you start missing extra points.
We get that it's not automatic from 33 yards, but I think the yips is now a factor.
It's got to be.
There's no way you should miss four or five 33-yard field goals in a season, and that's what's Fairbairn's missed. Fairbairn's missed five, I think.
Yeah.
Extra points.
And in the case of Vinatieri, I mean, listen, I get, like Charlie said, one of the greatest ever. You can't keep paying guys in the NFL for what they did 10, 12 years ago. You cannot do that, especially when it's costing you games. The Colts could have lost. They may have two games that are losses on their schedule thanks to Adam Vinatieri. That's, you can't have it.
And it's the Texans have been fortunate that
it hasn't cost, them.
Hasn't cost them yet, but it's going to.
It's
going to
happen.
If you're going to keep playing games like you did last week and you play, I mean, if you're going to play the Patriots close, if you're going to win these games, man, you can't be doing that. And one name I just wanted to throw out before we go to break that we were talking about Defensive Player of the Year. I think a guy who might have inserted himself into the conversation yesterday is Cameron Jordan. Getting his four sacks, he now leads the league. That was a big effort that a lot of people saw.
What's his count after the season you have there?
13.5.
I'll tell you a guy, he won't win it, but should really get consideration is Minkah Fitzpatrick. Because he took the Steelers from being a really bad defense and completely turned that thing around. And suddenly the Steelers have a good defense. And I don't think it's any coincidence. I think that guy is a game changer, and I think he was well worth a first-round pick, although ideally it would have been a first-round pick a year where you weren't going to need a quarterback. But I think he's a guy who should get some consideration too.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. I got some Astros questions for Charlie when we come back, if that's all right. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Special guest Charlie Polillo in today. Fun so far.
He never invites us onto his show.
Well, that's why would he? If I were him, I wouldn't invite either one of us. I don't think there's any question.
Feel free to drop by.
You don't like working with people, do you?
You stick your head in the door. No, not a matter of liking, not liking. Did it the first however many years and just evolved in the direction of doing a solo show. It worked out. One less salary, I guess, to pay if you're the company. And so it's just how it's worked. Certainly doing a two-hour show. No need as Nebraska goes bowl-less again.
Oh.
Scott Frost's ridiculous contract extension gets that much more ridiculous.
Poor corn Aggies. How disappointing. Mm. That's okay. They covered. What really matters? You play to cover the game. Nebraska covers the game. Uh-oh. The referee has something to say about this. Uh-oh. No, they're still celebrating. I don't think it's going to matter.
Quick shout out to everyone who's read Sports Map this month. 3.4 million page views.
Which it's crazy, too, because you get $1 per page view.
Yeah, I wish.
That's a great deal you broke.
That would have been a great bonus plan, right? But, yeah, I have 433,000 users, which is, I'll just say significant. But thanks to everybody. And keep reading. There's a bunch of good stuff. There's some great videos up today and tomorrow that we did before. Before the holiday break, that will still hold up pretty good. So, Astros wise, if I put you in charge, well, I'm probably going to have to put you in charge because I'm guessing Jeff Luhnow is going to get suspended.
Would you allow cheating?
Well, that wasn't the question, but that is a good question.
Okay.
But as GM, what are you going to do with this pitching staff between now and the start of the season, starting pitching in particular?
Well, we'll presume Cole is gone, whether the Astros are not going to play poker at that price or Cole just wants to go home to California or finally go pitch for the Yankees. Where is Crane going to set the budget? They're going to get their $2 million fine or maybe a $5 million fine. All in all, trivial in terms of what should be setting the payroll, but I do think maybe not the first one. They can't avoid the first tier luxury tax, but you get to that second tier. No way they'd ever go to the third tier, I don't think. But their payroll is going over $200 million. I think the flexibility is minimal. I think they're going to shop the Wade Miley bin and try to unearth a guy who, for 5 months anyway, was awesome value at $4.5 million. Right? The idea that, well, maybe they're going to lose Cole, so they jump in on Strasburg.
That's not
a snowball's chance in hell. Zach Wheeler is going to be way beyond their budget. So I think they just have to hope like hell that Verlander, who just won the Cy Young Award, you know, you can hit that wall. He's 37 years old next season. Greinke is 36. They better be the Studley 1-2 because while I'm into Lance McCullers' intensity and his gameness and a lot of what he's about and stands for, but Lance McCullers has exactly zero seasons in his career where he's been both good and healthy.
Yeah,
he's had kind of healthy, he's had kind of good, not put either of them together with the other. So to think, well, he's back off Tommy John, guys come back from that. Well, what's he going to come back to be a 120-inning starter who wins 10 games?
Right.
And God's gift to pitching prospects, Forrest Whitley, he's more suspect than prospect. Now 2 years of stinking, PED suspension, and injuries. He's only 22, so maybe he figures it out. But they're going to hold him down until June anyway, delay arbitration and all that. So Jose Urquidy better be the truth, I guess. Where are you filling out the rotation? But I think they'll bargain shop for one veteran, and they can free up a little more payroll. Maybe you can upgrade in the level. They need to frame Josh Reddick for a non-major crime, but enough that they can void the $13 million left on his contract because it's untradeable. I mean, maybe they can eat half of it and find someone to take him as a $6, $7 million player. Because clearly Kyle Tucker should be getting the everyday shot to either prove himself or flop as the top-tier prospect that he's been reasonably heralded to be. But the offense is going to be beastly. For October, are they going to have pitching that you can count on? Because, hell, you can't even count on Verlander once you get to the World Series.
I've got a list of pitchers that I think, I don't know if they all fall into the bargain bin, but they're all guys who have at least at one point in their career shown to have pretty good stuff.
I was curious if Odorizzi had gotten to market, if it even 10, 12 million for a guy like, I mean, they once gave Scott Feldman 3 years, $30 million. So they won't go that far on a pitcher of at least some repute, some performance. So who do you have?
What do you think of Michael Pineda?
You would have to pay him the first month of the season as he finishes serving his drug suspension. Right-hander, recovered from major arm problems, electric stuff that Brent Strom and whoever else, I think he'd fit the profile.
What about Andrew Cashner?
Too many years where he just never put it together. Area kid who maybe could come home and finally fulfill whatever his perceived potential was or a greater portion of it. Pineda would intrigue me more than Cashner.
What about Rick Porcello?
I think he sold his soul to the devil for that Cy Young.
For 1 year.
And
I mean, he was a top-tier prospect when he came in. I mean, he was a high draft pick. Yeah, I mean,
Tigers. I mean, the Tigers once had Scherzer, Verlander, and Porcello on the same staff. But Porcello now in his 30s certainly won't command $20 million per season anymore. But he strikes me at this stage as more journeyman.
Gio Gonzalez, who's now 34, 35. But when he's on, I think he's really good.
Be a Miley-esque type signing. Keuchel light when Keuchel was real. I mean, Gio Gonzalez had a 21 win season with the Nationals. But another guy, I think the price could be right, and he has been durable through his whole career. You're going to score runs. You can take a fifth starter with an ERA of 4.20 if he'll at least give you 5 2/3 innings on average starts, as opposed to getting knocked out in a third or fourth inning every other start.
And this would be the ultimate reclamation project. Matt Harvey.
I just think he's done.
Okay.
Had a handful of decent starts with the Reds. It was a complete disaster with the Angels. Let him get back to his true calling, chasing supermodels.
Okay.
Ooh. Which was a lot easier done when he was
the king of New York.
Dark Knight in New York City, right?
Of that list, the name that intrigues you the most, Pineda?
Yeah, the curiosity of the stuff with if he can get healthy and maybe there's still untapped potential in him for the Astros to work with.